Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and on today's show, we did another crossover episode. You guys need to head on over to their episode and check out theirs because it's already out. But my guests today are from the podcast, A Pair of Normal Guys. So let's bring them in first. I have Steve.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good to be here.
And I have Neil. How are you doing, Neil?
Hey, what's up, man?
Cool. So your podcast that I was just on is The Pair of Normal Guys. That is a very interesting name, guys. What is your show about?
It's a little bit about everything. We delve into everything. We're like it says, it's just the paranormal guys who have interest in the paranormal, the supernatural, the cryptids, everything. We don't try to come off as people who know everything. That's why we invite people on yourself who are more knowledgeable on certain things, so that we learn better and we're able to give it out to the audience a little bit better and give them some really good episodes so that we can reach out to them and maybe give everybody a little bit of extra knowledge.
Right. And we're on YouTube as Graveside Paranormal.
Yeah. Graveside.
S-I-D-E. It's funny because we never could stick with the grave side of the paranormal. We had a show called Spirits by the Graveside, and we got into UFOs. We got it one thing on Bigfoot and aliens, the Antarctica cryptids, and we kept kind of stepping away from the graveside. So we just realized we're a paranormal guys.
Yeah, we're just a paranormal guy.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about you guys then. You know, that's your show. So, Steve, how did you get into this? And you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so I think Neil has the more fun origin story than me. So basically, everybody in my family, the women see ghosts and stuff like that, right? And like my mom sees a shadow person all the time. She watches a show. So we're going to have her watch your show. But she hates when I talk about it because then she's afraid she's going to see him. So kind of grew up with stuff like that, and mostly just being a goofball but being curious and letting my mind go to like UFOs and stuff like that, the strange. And I have brothers and they're into it, so you know, that kind of helped me along. But I met this guy down here, Neil, like 5 or 6 years ago, Neil?
Going on 7 years ago.
Yeah, and see, it flies when you're having fun.
We are.
My younger brother works with Neil, and he's my younger brother, Tommy. It's been like my partner in crime, like all my life. So we got into like ghost stuff, and I know he's in the paranormal, and he was going to house sit for me. And I built a box that talked to the dead. At least that's what I told him. and kind of the premise behind that is that the human mind is a meaning making machine. It will make meaning out of the meaningless. That's kind of how I was approaching it at first. And that people are just going to hear stuff and it's going to be fun, right? More of a psychological thing. But then we started taking this box out. Neil started taking us out to places. And then I started looking at the evidence and got creeped out. either that box has got something to it. And the places that Neil has taken us have hauntings. We'll get into it tonight if you want to talk about those things. But I sort of was not a huge believer, but I wasn't necessarily saying it wasn't something that couldn't exist. And I just sort of like clowned around and found my way into situations where I'm like, oh, wait, that shouldn't have happened. We shouldn't be getting like a voice that says kill, kill, kill on an EVP recording in a room that was completely quiet. That shouldn't happen.
We've gone to a lot of cool places, me and Steve.
Right. So I do remain skeptical. I do think that the mind plays a lot into what we perceive. But I've also seen enough to know that there's there's more out there than I can understand, or probably anybody could really scientifically explain at this point. That was long-winded.
I agree with you on that. No, that's fine. Neil, so what is your origin story that's so fascinating?
Well, my origin story, 1971, I was born. No. So what happened was I always try to tell people I wasn't looking for the paranormal. The paranormal found me. And it's something that I always tell on our tours, because we do the ghost tours throughout Chicago. We take people on a 4.5-hour tour, and that's how we usually start everything off. What happened was I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and my mom and dad in the 70s, they went through a horrible divorce. This isn't a boo-hoo-hoo story. It's a boo story. What happened was is that for some reason, my mom used to wake up every night at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and she'd be screaming at the top of her lungs. And then when we used to go shake her to see if you're okay, she would have no recollection of what was going on whatsoever. So like clockwork, every night I started waking up between like 3:15 every night. And for whatever reason, I was about maybe 7 or 8 years old. And I looked in the hallway and I saw this small little impish looking creature. And it looked at me and then looked in my mom's room and then smiled back at me. And then entered inside my mom's room. And that's when she began to scream. So of course it scares the crap out of everybody. You know, the minute when you're a child, you don't know what's going on. But when I started reflecting on things, I wanted to find out what certain things were. And I think I somehow kind of not thought about it for quite a while. But ever since, I always thought about having my kids and this and that. And ever since we've gotten into this about 7 years ago, I've gotten back into it on a full-time basis because my kids are grown and stuff. I used to suppress a lot of the little things that go on. Like I hear voices, but they're always out of my left ear. I get impressions. I've been doing this for years, and the more and more we do this, the more and more it gets stronger. That's kind of my origin story. And then what happened was, is like Steve told you, we met about 6-7 years ago. This is how it started. I was doing a benefit for law enforcement. And he came up to me and that's when I started just doing ghost tours myself. And he goes, "Hey, I got something to show you." And I go, "All right, whatever." He opens up his trunk, and he's got this little chakra box inside it. Mm-hmm. He calls it a chakra box. And he built it. And he starts to turn it on. I go, "Oh, that's bull, man." And I walk away. And little did I know, in about 2-3 weeks later, I was going to give him a call because I noticed I needed something more on this tours that I'm doing. So I said, I'm going to give this guy a call. So then he brought out the chakra box. And I'm not my hand to God. Weird things started happening where we started getting replies. And then he developed a thing called the Anahata Spirit Portal Box. Mm-hmm. And this thing here, if you go to some of our videos that are on YouTube, we actually have people who are talking and making regular intelligent conversations with whatever's there. Now, and I tell everybody, take everything with a grain of salt, because there are malevolent spirits that are out there that people would think are supposed to be loved ones. But like I tell everybody, it's not to freak everybody out, but they are around, they listen. And they're going to always promote themselves as being mom or dad or grandpa or grandma. And they're out there listening to you. But the thing is that this Anahata box that Steve developed, I'm telling you, it's like no other box I've ever come across. And we actually make a direct contact. It doesn't happen every time. But when it does happen, man, it happens. And then we started noticing, you know what Bachelor's Grove Cemetery is, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So we would take it out to Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. And I started noticing when we were getting replies that they were in reverse. So if I was talking regular forward plane, and all of a sudden I start hearing it. I told Steve, I said, "Listen, man," I go, "the replies that we're getting is reverse." So we threw it through our Audacity program. We reverse, ran a forward plane, and we started getting regular intelligent answers. I came up with the idea called mirror zones, where it's the opposite of us. And certain zones, you might be getting voices that are talking backwards. Now, I know of people who have actually gotten on EVPs, some of these things backwards. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to find out if you start to put in like things like Audacity, that if you reverse it, you're going to start hearing these things forward playing, and it's going to make a little bit better sense to you. So then we've been doing tours now for about 6-7 years, and we've been going out on investigations and stuff like that. So that's kind of like Graveside Paranormal's origin story, as well as me and Steve's.
Right. Yep. Yeah. That. Yep. And the boxes, you know, it's like a lot of times people will just hear their name, right? And that makes sense to me, because our brains are wired to recognize things that are important to us, like our name. And, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, it said my name. But when you get like some weird last name, I don't know if you remember this, Neil. We had a family out maybe 2 years ago on our ghost tour. And I think they were like, I can't remember exactly their name. It was a German name, I believe.
Yeah.
And like Hunterstagen or something like that. I don't know. And, you know, it was like it said each of the ladies' names. And then they, oh, tell us their last name. It's like, I think it was something like Hunterstagen or something. Right. And comes out of the Anahata box. And they're like convinced. And I think that same night we had a lady who had a entity as a child that would like throw things around in her pantry, and it was looking for chocolate. And we had this same, I think it was the same night, this lady was asking, what are you looking for in the pantry? And it's like chocolate. And it's like, it is hit or miss, but when it hits, it will hit multiple at the same time, like multiple families that are visiting. And we know it's working when it's doing that.
Yeah, like we put it through phases where like I'll do a test. I'll say fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. I'll go A, B, C, and all of a sudden I'll say D. And then I'll do prayers. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy, and then I'll say ghost. Mm-hmm. So we're getting some kind of intelligent answer. Like he said, it doesn't happen every time, but one of the most amazing ones, if you go to our YouTube series on Graveside Paranormal, we have this one video where this lady's actually holding a conversation. It's the only one I really believe. She's holding a conversation with her mother-in-law for about 2 minutes. And they're going back and forth. She's asking them how this child is, how that child is. Mm-hmm. And she's giving out names. And I'm like this. I'm like, what the heck? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, this thing is working. I think it works. The way I explain it is like, take for instance, like the X-Men, right? You have a Charles Xavier and you have Cerebro. Mm-hmm. It works very good with people who are well in tuned. That there's a fact. I've come across some of these people, and for whatever reason, for whatever surrounds them, what aura, I don't know, energy, it seems to work very well with certain individuals.
And I noticed that the more you interact with this box, Neil, the more you start to get like more psychic. Like you're predicting things.
So it's getting weirder and weirder every time that we go out. Like I told you about the tours, Barnaby, is that last year we were doing a tour, and I always take a nap before I go out, because I try to just meditate. So I relax myself so I can do all the stories correctly. And so I can get also in tune with the box later. And I've had it happen where I've actually had a person come to me in my dreams while I'm sleeping, and it gave me its name. This young man gave me his name. I believe it was Christopher. And I could see him in front of me in the dream. And he said, when you get to Bachelor's Grove, please say my name. Someone will know. And so I wake up and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, what in the heck was that? So I told my wife, we're driving to go do our tour. And I said to her, I said, hey, this is what happened. I go, do I say anything or am I going to look like a complete nutball? She goes, you're going to look like a nutball. Mm. She goes, don't do that. She goes, they're going to certify you. So I go, all right, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We go to Bachelor's Grove at the segment where it's the part where we got to do it. And all of a sudden, I'm finishing up my regular speaking about Bachelor's Grove. And all of a sudden, I keep getting in the back of my head, please, please do this. And I'm like this, oh my God, what is this? And all of a sudden I said, hey, listen, I have to come off script for a second. is there someone here who knows a Christopher? I gave a full description of what he looks like, baseball cap.
And at this point, I'm like, what is he doing? Because he did not told me anything about this. I'm like, what are you doing? Neil actually felt like you look sad, like you were going to cry.
So that's the problem with this sometimes.
Right.
Is that you get their emotions.
Right.
And when you get their emotions, man, I had to pull my, he'll tell you, I had to pull myself to the side after I went up to him and I said, everything's going to be all right. Cause I was about to start really crying, dude.
Well, tell him what you told the guy and like, you had no idea.
Yeah. Like, I went up to him and I said, hey, listen. So I gave the full description and the guy goes, that's my cousin Christopher just died.
Right.
I said, I just have to tell you, everything's going to be okay. Everything's okay. And I start getting emotional, right? So I had to pull myself to the side and I said, Steve, just get everybody on the bus. Now, what was really weird about the thing, another thing that was weird about it, is we film everything we do. We film everything.
Right.
And yeah, when we film this segment here, the camera went completely black.
Right.
It was not filmed. So because I wanted to see what the heck, if anything weird happened.
Yeah, and we couldn't recover the film. Since then, this has happened a few times, like where Neil's picked something up, and I've learned to just sort of like let it roll. But at first, I'm like, "What are you doing? You're not." What's that guy, John Edwards? That's the first thing that came to my mind. I'm getting like an impression of a guy.
I'm feeling. The presence.
Like, our show just like our tour just turned into something I didn't know it was going to.
Everybody's gonna want back their money.
Yeah, but it was totally off script. But like it's you know, to me, I've seen Neil develop an ability over time, and I'm just glad it's not me, because Neil will say that he's a sensitive, and. And he's like, he says, tell people that doesn't mean I cry it late at night.
That's what I tell everybody.
Yeah. I tell people, I'd be telling people I'm a medium, but I'm actually
a large,
extra large. Actually. Right. But
I actually do. We'll come back to this in a second. This is going to be off topic, but I'm going to come back here. I do, you know, the spirit boxes. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the box that you made. And you don't have to give out any trade secrets. I don't want to know how it works.
We're totally open. We don't really know.
But now, the box that you developed, mm-hmm. is that anything like a spirit box? Does it run through radio, or what are you picking up?
We call it a portal, right? Okay. And the idea is that we're not just providing like a spirit radio type of experience, but other things that energy can be borrowed from in order to manipulate the sound. But essentially it's the same thing. It uses a radio that's flipping through channels, and I'm not saying stations because this is built a little differently. So basically it's flipping through noise, and we're going through IP radio stations instead of like radio frequencies, right. Like AM and FM and what have you. And that cuts down on the background static noise that you hear in a spirit radio. But it is still going through voices off of the internet. Now, the idea isn't that this box is going to speak. That's not the trick. That's not the lure, if you will. It's not why we built it, so it would just talk. It has to answer intelligently. It has to be able to provide a conversational type of experience. And it doesn't always do that. It'll talk all the time. And when it's not connecting to spirit, it's not going to make sense. It's just going to be random stuff. When you do have an entity talking through it, you'll know, because one, you'll get a chill. You just have a sixth sense, if you will, or a gut feel that it's happening. And then you start watching people have like a dialogue, a conversation with the box. It's beyond like chance at that point. So that's kind of it isn't, again, like, oh, it said hi. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, it might have picked that off. But if it says, hi, Neil Gibbons,
yeah, just so you know, Chris is here. There's no AI inside of it. We don't have an AI inside of it where it's listening like a Google or something right. like that, where it's repeating things. It's not that kind of a thing. It's not that kind of a box. Because I originally thought, right. I go, is this listening to us? Because believe me, I'm somebody who has to ask questions. I said, is this listening to us? And will it know my name? Like, it constantly says my name. But we're not. We're cycling through an IP address. Mm-hmm. So it makes no sense.
But it doesn't always say your name unless you're there. You know, an interesting thing. My brother Tommy, we took this thing to a place called Irish Legend, which is Archer Avenue out in our area. In Illinois, it's a very haunted road, right? It's mm-hmm. a lot of establishments along it. It's built on top of ley lines and a lot of supernatural activity. There's a place called Irish Legend. The old Willowbrook Ballroom that burned down years ago, where a lot of people have seen Resurrection Mary. It's believed that that might have been one of the places that she allegedly left before getting hit by a car. Across the roadway, there's a place called Irish Legend. It's very haunted, and we took the box out there, and my brother Tommy tried to communicate with the girl ghost that haunts the ladies' restroom. And he kind of jokingly nicknamed the spirit Beth because we kept hearing when he would ask the box, what's your name? Hey, baby, what's your name? Something like that. And then you're Beth. And it's something like, Tommy, that's his name. I like you. And whenever we take the box to my brother, this same voice comes through, and it's like, who is this? And it says, Beth. I can't explain that. Like, it's not, it shouldn't.
Yeah, there's no recording inside. Like I said, there's no AI inside that's remembering things. I'm not even smart enough. He might be smart enough now,
I'm not that smart. We're just normal.
We're just paranormal.
Yeah. But I like the idea of AI, Neil. And I'm kind of curious how AI might fit into paranormal research.
I agree with that. You know, it's an interesting subject to get into, but that's a very long dialogue. So,
right.
And yeah. I don't think that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Okay.
What? I told you I'd bring it back to this. So yes. The spirit box as it is,
yep.
I'm not a fan of those things. I believe, right. You know, like you hear a lot of what you want to hear and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, when I found out about the Estes method, I experimented with that. And again, for anybody that's not familiar, you take one person has the spirit box, you put on headphones mm-hmm. and a face mask so you can't see. And then mm-hmm. everybody else ask questions, and the one person listening just repeats what they're hearing. So that's right. That's the Estes method of using a spirit box. Mm-hmm. Now, I usually do this for our investigations whenever we go somewhere. And I've done a lot of meditating. I've done a lot of like that kind of stuff. And I spoke with Chris Fleming at a convention about this. And he says that he believes that people who are using the spirit box aren't necessarily picking up on the voices that are coming through the spirit box, but more is using that to put you in that meditative state mm-hmm. that you're actually picking up on other stuff. Now, on your story, Neil, about getting these, you know, feelings and voices and stuff like that, you know, I absolutely hate that I have instances like that. And I feel really bad coming out and saying, you know, like I don't want people to believe like that I'm a medium or have any special whatever, but I'm getting these things and I don't know how to like portray that on a non
medium
sense, you know.
I understand where you're coming from. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to just try to think of it like this for now. Like when this first started happening to me many years ago, it was very small. And I would hear things, but I just blew it off as like maybe it was a TV, blah, 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 maybe a radio. Learn to just embrace it I tell people it's not the fall in love with it, but embrace it as into that now that you understand that's part of you, who you are. I'm not saying go out and go call a 900 number and start have people call you and give give predictions for horoscopes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when I do what I do, they are random. I don't ask for these things to happen. I don't reach out like that. We've done it where we use a thing called a bionic ear, where we have it in a range, and I'll go back to Steve. I'll say, I just heard this voice, and he's recording, and we catch the voice. And he's like, this holy man. He goes, you ain't lying. We were at, where were we at? Monroe House.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, there's a girl here. She's talking to me. I go, I hope you were doing the bionic ear. And he goes, yeah, I did. And sure enough, it came up as is. And the thing is that don't let it take up a lot of your life. Like one of the things that I do is I live a normal life. I really, truly do. This is just one of the parts of my life. I don't go out and grab the Anahata box on a weekend and go out looking for spirits every weekend. I think when people start doing like that, you become very obsessed with things. When you start becoming very obsessed with these things, you're going to run into trouble because there are things that are out there that are going to be listening to you and they're going to try to pretend. That there's a fact. So if the thing that's going on with you, just listen to it. You decide if you want to project it to others.
I want to give you
that. Also remember though, it's a great thing for when you're doing investigations. When you're doing your investigation, that helps because you may have been running doing an EVP at that time. And if that EVP picks that up, that's basically saying, hey, yeah, this is really what's going on with me. So I say embrace it, but not to the fact of obsession with it.
Right. And I agree with the obsession part, but I take it a step further because I don't want this stuff happening to me. I don't. I really don't want to be compelled to stand in front of a bunch of people and say, this guy, Chris, is trying to talk to me. Even if it helps Chris, I don't want the spirits to be bothering me. I jokingly said, I'm glad it's not happening to me. But I mean that. And I think the reason it's not happening to me is I'm not interested in it. In having that kind of relationship with spirits or anything paranormal, I can turn it off like a switch, and get into like coding or doing something, you know, that takes logic, distracts me. Yeah. Watching cat videos. you know, yeah, I know. But yeah, it's like, if you don't want it to happen, then just ignore it. It'll go away.
How long has this been going on for you?
It's more since I would say about a year. I've gotten a lot more comfortable with it. I mean, it's not that I don't like it, or it's not that I don't understand it or anything. It's that I always feel very self-conscious of saying, I feel like there's somebody standing next to me. Mm-hmm. And I tend to hold back on that during like the Estes sessions or the paranormal investigations, because I don't want to come off as this, you know, oh, there's somebody next to me. Oh, you know,
no, I get it. You don't want to be like, oh, I heard noise.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's something to it.
I've definitely come to embrace this more and more. And I found that, you know, like when I'm doing the Estes method and stuff, I can't see, I can't hear around me. But when I go back and watch those tapes, sure enough, something is, you know, moving, making noise next to me, or I felt like something walk behind me on several occasions, and you watch the tape back and nobody's moved. I can literally feel the floor shake, my chair vibrate as I'm sitting there, and I'm like, somebody's walking behind me, you know, and I call it out just so that it's on tape, you know, and it's become more normal for me to say these things during the time, but it took a while to get used to it.
When I first started doing it too, pardon me, I was a little nervous about it too, but you know what? I just learned to just go, this is who I am. This is what I do, man. Mm-hmm. It just is. I'm not saying I'm going to predict things for you, cause I don't do that. But when we go on investigations, I'm hearing the whispers. I hear whispers. Do you hear it in your left ear?
I don't hear anything. Like when I'm doing a normal investigation, I don't really have, I haven't opened up that far to it. I'm not sure how yet and stuff, Mm-hmm. What happens is when I'm doing the Estus particularly, mm-hmm. I will get visions in my vision, whatever. I see things, I hear things, I feel movement, I get touched.
You're heightening your senses.
Right. Yep. So when you take away certain senses, yes. The other ones become more heightened. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you might have something going on. We all have it. Okay. Yeah. Some are just a little bit more than others, but it doesn't mean that we can't all achieve the same thing, because we all can. But I agree with you, getting back to you about your spirit boxes. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of faith in spirit boxes. I really don't. SB11s, SB12s, S17s, whatever the heck they're called. I really don't. Because reason why is because somebody will be with that SB11 and he'll be like this, oh my God, I said okay. Mm-hmm. Or he'll say, Bobby, oh, he was like the seventh person who lived here. Right. You know, but the thing is, and that's why when I met Steve, I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But then what was weird, it started making intelligent answers to intelligent questions. And I was like, what the heck is this? Mm-hmm. So we started getting on top of something. And like I said, it doesn't work every single time. And I'm not going to tell you it is. But we do make contact sometimes. With whatever it is, we do make contact.
So, Barnaby, yeah. I know you... because we talked on our podcast about cryptids and such, animals have a way of communicating that is different than humans. Like, they don't have a vocabulary like we do. And, we think in words and stuff like that. Animals have a different way of communicating, and it almost seems psychic. Has Bigfoot ever, the whole concept of, like, Bigfoot, for example, that they speak psychically? And do you think that, like, by developing that ability, it might help you with your cryptid research, and maybe even be able to communicate and track one down?
I've never given that much thought. I mean, like I said, I'm just starting to experiment more and more into this with mm-hmm. the different things like that. I was just at Jack's last convention down in Chicago, and the Gansfield experiment podcast was there. Mm-hmm. And they do the experiment with that. And I'm really excited. I would like to try that. We have one location up by us that we do tours, you know, as you guys do. And we take people around there, but we do work there as well. And I really want to try that and see what we get there as far as, you know, that and an Estes session or something kind of combined to see what we get.
Well, I would really like to enjoy a time where, like, our two groups could get together and definitely go to a really cool place, like a real good sanitarium or something like that. Sanitarium. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I always think those things are fun. But I know that I have some photos for you from our tour.
We do, yes.
Yeah.
So, yes. If I could present them. This was a lot of these photos were taken by customers. A lot of the things that we get are taken by customers. And they give them back to me the same night.
Right.
So there's no trickery that's going on. And if it is, man, they're really good at what they do. And I'm talking about these are older people that don't even know how to use their phone. They're trying to show me where do I press to see a photo. Mm-hmm. So we went to Archer Wood Cemetery. And this year at Archer Wood Cemetery, which is near in Payless or near Justice, Illinois, off of Archer Avenue, Keene Avenue, actually. And we started getting shadow people. Almost every night that we went out, it was crazy. There's some definitely in that Archerwood Cemetery. Just so for your audience who don't know about Archerwood Cemetery, it's known for the Wailing Lady of Archerwood Cemetery, a girl that's crying as you exit out of Archerwood Cemetery.
By the gate.
Yeah, she's waiting by the gate. Did we catch whatever is there? So let's go into one of the photos and let me help your audience.
Cool. Before we do that, I want to – can you guys tell me – where they can find information on how to do your tours?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go on. Oh, I'll do it. Tours, T-O-U-R-S dot graveside. That's with a D, graveside, paranormal.com. Tours.gravesideparanormal.com.
Yeah, we won't be starting back up until probably March, and then we always end on November 1st.
Very good. I just want, because we are going to be showing pictures, we do a audio version of the show, and then you can also watch our show on YouTube. So if you're interested in seeing these pictures, because obviously if you're not, you're listening to us on a podcast here. So if you're interested in seeing these pictures before we bring them up and get into it, head on over, stop the podcast, go over to our YouTube page, which is Wisconsin Caps on YouTube. Hit subscribe while you're there, because that's always awesome. And then you can start watching this podcast over there, or if you're already watching it on YouTube, we're going to show you the pictures. So I'll give you a little bit of time right now to pause the podcast and head over there. And while you're there, what's your YouTube channel?
Graves. Go ahead, Steve.
You
go
take
ahead.
This one, yeah.
All right, I'll take this one. Graveside, GRAVESIDE, Paranormal on YouTube. And that's where we also put on the Paranormal Guys podcast, like you do your podcast, so people can see the photos that we put out. You can also see a lot of the haunts that we've gone to, a lot of our tours. We videotape all our tours, and we try to put it out for our customers so that we can gather evidence. So we always make sure that the next Halloween weekend, you're able to see the evidence that we find while we're videotaping everything.
Awesome. And for those who aren't watching, it's Pear, as in two, A, and then Normal Guys. Not Paranormal, Pear, A Normal Guys. Yeah. I just love that name. I thought Steve, it was so
came
cool.
up, Steve came up with it. One day I was just sitting at home, and he goes, because we were coming up with new concept ideas. He goes, what about this Paranormal Guys? I go, man, that's good, man. I like that.
See?
Whispers from the Dark will be right back after this quick message from our sponsors.
If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTKDB.com.
Winter is just around the corner, and it will be here before you know it. Are you or someone you know sick of dealing with snow? Are you paying an outrageous amount for snow removal every time it snows? Look no further than Eric's Winter Services for all your snow removal and snow hauling needs. That's not all. They also do lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming. To get an estimate, contact Eric at 920-255-8592 or email ericswinterservices@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook at Eric's Winter Services, serving Wisconsin's Fox Valley area. Eric's Winter Services. Snow flurries, no worries. Awesome. All right, guys. So hopefully you've moved over to YouTube. If you're going to, otherwise, we're going to be talking about these pictures. So let's get them up here. All right. This is our first picture here.
So this was taken at Archer Wood Cemetery. That is past the entrance of the gate of Archer Wood Cemetery. The original picture is a little bit darker. Now, what caught my attention, as you can see down near the feet, they're very dark. Mm-hmm. So what I did was, when she gave me this, I actually put more brilliance inside of it to bring pictures out. So that people don't know that I'm like doing any foolery or anything like that, I'm telling you what I'm doing. What I do is I bring out a little more brilliance so that way I can at least see the image. So that if anybody ever says to me, oh, you're messing around. No, I'm not. I'm telling you up front what I'm doing. So what I do is I might do a little bit of the contrast to show a body image. And when we saw this, you could totally see what looks like an image of a person. If you zoom in on that picture, you do not see a face whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for being, you know, there's not much detail there. Like if this was actually a person walking through the cemetery, you know, you have over here, you have the gravestone here. There's a lot of detail there, but this is just kind of like a figure or a shadow or something moving there. So mm-hmm. like you said, like I believe that probably isn't a person just walking there.
Definitely for those familiar with Archerwood Cemetery, when you walk into the gate area there, there's just a path. There's no big headstones. One of the things that I wanted to understand is, were we looking at a picture of a headstone of some sort? Is this sort of like a shadow? There's absolutely nothing there in relation to the sign, right? Whatever was there was standing in an empty space. So if you do have the opportunity to go out to Archer Woods, you'll know what I'm talking about when you look at this picture in relation to the sign. That whatever's there shouldn't be there. But Neil, you have something about this picture, because that night this was taken.
So you, what was weird is, yeah. Steve, is that I saw this thing. When everybody, I'm talking to everybody, of course, everybody's facing me. And I see what looks like to be a shadow over near, like, the trees. And I'm like, oh, my God. In my head, I'm thinking, what is that? But I don't want to spook anybody. So I'm just like, oh, maybe it's just something with my eyes, a little pareidolia. I don't know. So I say, all right, I have to do another part. So I'm starting to talk to more people. But now it's completely dark out. As you can see in the background there, it's completely dark out. We take people out in the dark. And I felt this thing, like you were talking about, you feel something behind you or something like that, right, Barnaby? Well, I thought I saw, because I felt like someone walking up on me. And I looked over and I thought, that's my shadow. And I thought I debunked it, it's my shadow. But then I told my wife, and she goes, how can it be your shadow? You're out in the dark. There's no light. And I said, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. And whatever it was, it came up on my shoulder and it was like a shadow, and I could totally feel it. Like it was, you know, just walk, you know, like if someone walks up on you in the street, you know? Mm-hmm. So I totally felt that one. So I don't know if that's that thing right there, but I am going to be going back there. Me and Steve are going to do a little project with this. Yep. Guaranteed. Let's take that's it into really the cool. next picture then.
Yeah.
So, all right. So this picture here, this is taken on our tours. We're at the back end of Bachelor's Grove. We're driving into Gaelic Park, okay? So at the moment, we're in motion. So everybody is seated. We've noticed a phenomenon since we started doing the tours of faces in the windows when people take pictures of whoever's sitting next to them. Now, at first, I'm like, this has to be somebody who's sitting in the bus. Maybe they stood up or something like that. So I started paying attention to it. And I make sure that everybody sits in the same seats. And I have to have everybody go right back to those seats, and I try to find if this face is in there. Now, I want you to zoom in on that circle. You're going to see it like a man's looking face. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
We're in motion. We're not stopped. We are in motion at this time. The reason why I know this is because in the background, I know exactly where we're at. That person was not on the bus. Whoever, whatever that was, that person was not on the bus whatsoever. Now, the lady sent it to me once again. It's customers, and we've got it many times. Would you kind of agree with me that it looks like a face?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You know,
I kind of see like eye, mm-hmm. nose, mouth, mm-hmm. chin.
Yeah,
like a white collar.
mm-hmm. Yeah, down here, yeah.
So I really don't know what this thing is, but it happens a lot when we're on our tours. It's an amazing thing.
It happens in that space between Bachelor's Grove and parking at Gaelic Park. Like that whole land has a history around it, the Bachelor's Grove area. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a cemetery that things happen. Things happen in the woods, in the land around it. So yeah, we get these pictures often. We have some from years ago too, but I don't think we have them on the podcast.
No.
But,
so let's go to the next picture, Barnaby. So that's at the back end of Bachelor's Grove.
Yeah, for everybody, paranormal doesn't happen just in certain locations. I mean, it's you know, energies wherever you are. You know?
Right. A lot of that's things. That's why
we have the customers take all these pictures
mm-hmm.
because when you have a large group, like we usually get about 40 people. And when we take out these large groups, you can see, yeah, you see that picture right there? These people are taking random photos. We actually have a picture, I forgot to send it to you, of what looks like from one of our summer ones. We were talking about the Grimes sisters' murders at a place called Holy Sepulchre, where you see this nun. And this woman was not there. It's really weird. But in this picture here, you can see two legs, and this is the same cemetery that we showed you in the first picture, Archer Wood Cemetery. This is the same one.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that's there that shouldn't be there.
It's hard. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out on the podcast, but this screen that I'm looking at here with all of us on it is got a little different graining than what it does over on my big screen over here. You can almost see like
an arm. Yeah, you can. And I'm looking at your grain too. And yeah, you can kind of see where it's an outline of a body and a
head.
Yeah.
You can kind of see a whole figure kind of there where it doesn't match up with the bust behind it.
Right, right, right. And the legs just totally give it away. Those bottom, the calf area. You know, that's something that's there that shouldn't be there. Definitely an anomaly. And I'm going to go one further thing. It's a shadow person, man. I have to go on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we got one more. And it's in the same place. And this is on the next following day. So this one is exiting out of Archer Woods Cemetery. You can see, go ahead, zoom in a little bit, please, for me, Barnaby, where it's a head on top. It almost looks like an alien head. And then shoulders, and like it's floating out.
Now, this is the gate that people hear the wailing lady cry from.
Yeah,
when they leave the cemetery, that's the famous gate.
Yeah, it's crazy how many photos we got this season, the month of October, from just this place. How many people go through a whole lifetime of investigating, trying to find things, and we found it all within a 2-week period.
Well, our customers found it, and I think that's the thing. It's like the number of people. So we have like 40 people on the tour taking pictures, and we do, you know, every Friday and Saturday. So that our statistics, our probability of maybe catching something goes up a bit.
Yeah.
Now, these were all taken during October, correct?
Correct.
Right, October 2022.
Veils.
You know what they say, that the veil thins more as closer to you. Halloween as you get. So, I mean, it's possible that activity's just amped up then too.
Right. Exactly. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was it of all the photos I sent you.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we got tons more, but we can do that again if you wish another time.
Yeah, definitely. So do you have a website and stuff where some of this is on as well, or just the YouTube?
So a lot of it's on YouTube. It's a lot of it's on our Facebook page, which is Graveside Paranormal. Steve, on our webpage, do we have a gallery?
We don't have a gallery of these types of pictures or evidence. We put everything on YouTube. And we have our stuff up on Spotify and all that. But Facebook is where we tend to put a lot of things that we catch. Like, I think you can find pretty much everything interesting that we had as a photo out on Facebook. And that's Graveside Paranormal. And, and we're starting to do TikToks too now, so it's kind of fun.
Well, he's doing TikToks. I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting all the cat videos. It's awesome. But anyway,
whatever.
Now you're making the cat videos or just watching them?
I'm watching them. Like, okay. I can't put TikTok down. I'm into the paranormal, right? And I find myself like watching cat videos on TikTok for some reason. It's addictive.
Well, that's research. I mean, if we want to delve into that, you know, cats, people believe two things. I mean, they're either familiars to, you know, the paranormal and stuff. And second, I mean, they tend to see things in a realm that we can't. So you can justify watching cat videos as doing research them. For the paranormal. Yeah.
All right. So, I want to be a better researcher.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
don't let anybody make fun of you for watching cat videos. There you go. It's now justified.
No. Oh, I will.
The people are like, why is this scary TikTok channel liking my stuff? How about cats? Research. It's me.
Research.
Oh, yeah.
So in all of your stuff that we've talked about on this episode, you know, it seems like once you've had one experience, like you've seen something, you've heard something, it opens up people's minds to being more susceptible, more open to these things, to have more and more. In fact, the people that are experiencing these things, you know, like people who have a Bigfoot encounter also have seen a UFO, also have paranormal in their house, and so on. And this isn't always the case, but it tends to be, you know, and you could say these people are, you know, not there or something, you know, too. But the people who are, it seems like once you've had one encounter, it opens you up more and more to these things. Would you say, like, you know, obviously Neil, with your experience and stuff, but Steve, have you had similar experiences as that?
Yeah, but I kind of like don't talk about it too much because I don't want to. I like to have a separation between the reality I interact with everybody else in, and like, you know, kind of like being the guy who is going to, you know, have that, I feel an entity or I feel a spirit communicating with me. You know, I don't want to be that close to it, but I've had things happen to me. I've had some crazy, I had a dream once. I don't know if we have time for this, but it was like probably the most significant paranormal experience I've ever had. Years ago, I used to sell foreign currency at a place called American Express Travel. And as when I was in my 20s, a long time ago. And every now and then people would ask me for like a rare currency, right? They're traveling somewhere in the world. And you have to be careful with that because the money doesn't retain its value over a long period of time. An old lady calls me up and she's going to Egypt. And she's going with an elder hostel group. And so she calls me up and says, Steve, can I get like $100 worth of Egyptian pound? And I go, sure, I'll get that for you. Order it, comes the next day. She's supposed to come in. She gives me a call. She can't make it one reason or another. This goes on for about over a week. And I'm getting nervous. My manager is going to come in and count, do an audit on my, you know, safe and see that I've had Egyptian pound for over a week. And it's not something I would get a pat on the back for. could value at any moment. And the lady finally comes. She picks up the currency and leaves. And a couple of days go by. It's actually Halloween night. And I'm at my brother-in-law's. We're drinking beer. I'm kind of fast-forwarding through this story. We're drinking some beers, having a good time. We go to sleep. I decide to crash at his house. And my wife and I are in the guest room. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up from a dream and I can't breathe. I'm having an asthma attack. I'd never had asthma before. And in my dream, I was flying over the ocean and I could actually feel like the cool air coming from the ocean. I could feel the wind. I could smell the ocean. It was really weird. And I was just kind of flying over it. And I look up. And I see a plane coming down. And I kind of pause and it pauses. Then I like zoom up into the cabin and there's a guy pushing down and another guy is pulling up on the plane. It's like they're both pushing it in different directions. One's going down, one's going up. And then the dream kind of takes, the plane goes down. It pauses at the ocean. And everything, lights go out and there's nobody in there. And I kind of like float out of the cabin and I look up at the sky and there's like a line of people all around one person in the middle. And I hear, what's he doing here? And then I get pulled back and I hear the cellophane wrapper type sound happen. And I wake up with a splitting headache. Can hardly breathe. My wife is like, what happened? What happened? It took a while for me to be able to breathe and tell her. So I told her the whole thing, the whole story about the plane crash, everything, and getting pulled out and everything. And I didn't go to sleep at all. About 6:30 in the morning, I said, you know, can you please drive me home? I want to go to bed in my bed. So I do that. I finally am able to fall asleep in my own bed. And about 11:30, I hear, Steve! And it's my wife downstairs. She says, come down here now. So I go down and there's a story about the Egypt air crash in 1990, right? The plane crashed that night in the ocean. And Eugenia Rhodes, the old lady who purchased the money, was on that plane. Now, that was just such a weird experience. All of those things happening could not have just been a coincidence. So for me, I think that I had a moment where I was actually astral projecting. Mm-hmm. Like I was actually somewhere and watched this plane crash happen at the same time. And I can't explain it. That hasn't happened since. And I'm glad. I don't want that to happen again because it was such a freaky thing. And it was very painful, like the headache and the breathing. But Neil actually found the grave of Eugenia Rhodes. It's right by Archerwood Cemetery.
Yeah, that's what's weird is like at Archerwood Cemetery, that's where that grave is.
Right. And so they did recover her. And I did visit there. I kind of just, you know, yeah, acknowledged what happened and moved on. But yeah, I don't really want to experience this stuff. It's a little bit, I know, like from having that happen, I know that there's much more to this reality than our everyday normal consciousness is picking up on. And maybe I need to keep it that way.
I agree.
For most of the time.
Thank you for sharing that. That was a really interesting story. And I can imagine I've only ever experienced like the sleep paralysis or anything once. And it was very recent. And it was hard waking up from that. And I can only imagine. And then, you know, hopefully my dream doesn't come true, but.
Because it's a scary one. Yeah.
The paranormal investigations at Bean Snappers, the haunted strip club by us.
A strip and club that's haunted?
Yeah, yeah. That's where we're interested. Do our tours. Yeah.
Hold on. You just got my attention, man. What is haunting at a place called Bean Snappers?
Boobs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, boobies. we got called to investigate it in 2020. And we went in very skeptical. Yeah, sure. Okay, it's haunted, whatever. We went in the basement and we were told there's this like shadow entity that walks back and forth in the third back room. So we're sitting in there. There's the main room. There's the mud room. And then there's this little small room in the back. And we didn't even know that there was a light in the third room. So we're asking all these questions and stuff. And we actually got two EVPs from that basement that night as well. One either says no or go. And the other one says, who owns this place? And then we're sitting down there and all of a sudden this light starts flashing in the back room in response to our questions. And it is very deliberate. You can ask, you know, repetitive questions. You get the same answer every time. And it was very interesting. It's all in our episode on, you know, definitely, Wisconsin Caps on YouTube. So
definitely an intelligent haunting.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, if I were to haunt a place and I'm intelligent, it would definitely be a strip club. That's the smartest, like very intelligent.
Also, you start seeing like dollar bills being thrown up in the air.
We've had a couple instances. We've had a lot of activity there. We had a dollar bill stand perfectly on end.
What?
On the stage, they threw it up there and it just stood straight up.
Wow.
We had another dollar bill move across the counter way back in the 90s when it first opened. And the building was originally built in 1877.
Wow.
So it has quite a history.
But. Do you think the entity likes what's going on there or?
No, yeah. We think one of the former owners is one of the people that's there and she does not like it. She likes, she wants us. We have a EVP where she says, go back to the bar. So it used to be a tavern and, table service and a dance hall upstairs. It had a farm out back. It had a general store. It was the town's first post office. So really? It has quite a history. It has three to five deaths that we can confirm with the building. Three are confirmed, or I'm sorry, four confirmed. And then we're still working on confirming one other death of a stroke there as well recently. Or not recently, in the past, that we're trying to verify if he actually died on the property. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right. That's very interesting.
Yeah, if you guys ever get a chance to come up, you're welcome.
Do you do tours out of this place?
We do, yeah.
Oh, then hell yeah. If you're doing tours out there, man.
It's research. It's like cat videos. Research, we got to go.
Right? Yeah, we have never had a tour that we did not have activity on.
Now, let me ask you this. Serious question. It's serious but silly. Have you ever hired a stripper to come in there? You know, the reason why is because of activity. you're all of a sudden putting something
like a trigger object.
What's it?
A trigger object?
Yeah, a trigger. Exactly, a trigger object. Think about this. I'm being serious for a minute. Think about this. That all of a sudden you.
Put I don't have to think about it. I can cut you off and tell you we've done it twice. So,
my okay. man.
We on my team is actually, well, I actually work at Bean Snappers as security, as well as one of my other team members works there as well now. And one of the dancers has joined the team as well. And the three of us, along with other team members, actually do the tours there. So,
oh, wow.
Nice, man. Nice. Yeah, I wish I was young again.
Yeah. Well, we've gone completely off, well, on topic, but my dream, as I was going to tell you, something weird happened up in the first floor of Bean Snappers. And for whatever reason, I went down to the basement with one of my other team members, and we had like a full spectrum camera or some kind of camera, and we aimed it into the middle two rooms, or the middle room, and then where we saw the light flashing. And through the camera, I could see this whole like parade of people walking out of that front room and then like towards us, and they stopped, and these two, like, I don't know how to describe them, you know, the terror dogs from Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Picture that, only shorter and like squatter.
They do like, say that there are dogs. That people have seen shadow dogs before.
I have seen a full apparition of a dog at Bean Snappers.
Oh, wow.
But this wasn't a dog. These were like demonic dog things.
I got to come to this place, man.
There was two of them, and they came out of the back room. We saw them on the camera. And again, this is my dream. This didn't actually happen as far as I know. But they came out of the back room, and they came straight towards me. Mm-hmm. And as they came towards me on the camera, I woke up, and I couldn't move, and that was the only time that I've ever woken up from anything like that.
Wow.
So
wow.
Yeah, and that was when we're recording this was like within the past week that I had this dream. So
yeah, isn't that weird? Like when you wake up from a dream and then you're having a physical reaction to it. I've not had sleep paralysis, right? I've never had that happen. But I do have a hypnosis background. And I have hypnotized people to have a paralysis.
Well, it's originally called Hag syndrome.
Oh,
derived right. from Ireland,
because of the succubus type of thing.
You know, it, for some reason, it has something to do with succubus. But supposedly, Hag syndrome is sleep paralysis. What they used to call back in the day, where like there would be this hag witch that would be sitting on your chest. That's why you get that feeling, why people have said that they have a feeling of something entering the room and they feel the presence of something else in their room during this sleep paralysis or hag syndrome. I used to have it all the time as a kid, where I would feel these things come inside the room and would start up on the ceiling. And then before you know it, it was like near the base end of the bed. And that's when I started suppressing a lot of this because I was getting nervous as a kid. Mm-hmm. But then I read about it. It's called originally Hag syndrome. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, guys, for as long as we've talked now, we've talked for 2 hours on the two podcasts. And you know, it's been a good conversation when you feel like you haven't talked about anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have barely scratched the surface of anything with these 2 hours. And it's been absolutely amazing conversation. And, you know, so much cool stuff that you guys have brought and shown, and your show too as well. Like we had a great discussion about Bigfoot over there. So
yes.
Oh yeah, dude, we'd love to have you on again. That there is a fact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, guys. You guys are welcome to come on my show and either of my shows anytime you guys want. So just let me know when you're available.
Okay. Right. Thanks
for having us, man.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Definitely.
A lot of fun.
One more time, Steve. Let's get everybody know where your podcasts are, where they can listen, what they're called, and
right. So you can find us on Graveside Paranormal on YouTube. We are Graveside Paranormal. We do investigations there. And you also find The Pair, P-A-I-R, a Normal Guys podcast. And that's where you'll find our a podcast with Barnaby Jones on Bigfoot. I think we have that one on December 8th.
Yeah, December 8th, we have that coming out. And you can also go on Spotify, Anchor FM, all the regular outlets that are out there. You can check us for the Paranormal Guys. But you can only see the viewing part. But they do have it on Spotify now. But if you want to, you can go on to the YouTube and you fall under our parent company, Graveside Paranormal.
Right. And we're also on Facebook, Graveside Paranormal, and TikTok. Yes, where I'm doing some fun stuff.
With cats.
With cat? No. I might do one with cats. Yep.
And then where can we get tour information?
Tours.gravesideparanormal.com. Sorry, Neil. Can you say it one more time?
Tours.gravesideparanormal.com. Boo.
That's the voice. That's the brand. Neil is the face and voice of Graveside Paranormal. And I just started coming on. I used to do like the background stuff, but we're doing the podcast together now. So, yep.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, it's been an absolute blast talking to you guys. Hopefully you can come out and check out some of our paranormal investigations and we can work together in the future.
Sounds like awesome. A plan. Thanks, Barnaby.
Thanks,
dude. All right, guys. Okay. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. And until next time, we'll see you out there.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.